Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here today with Dr. Janelle Davison. Thank you, Janelle, for being here.
Thank you for the invitation.
So I don't know if I've told you this, but I have two sisters and my baby sister's name is Janelle.
Really?
So I just love saying your name because I feel like you're my sister.
Now, does she spell it the same way?
She doesn't.
Oh,
no.
There's so many ways to spell it.
She spells it J-A-N-E-L.
Okay. I've seen that.
Yours is beautiful.
Thank you.
So tell everybody a little bit about you. We are here at the Optometric Management Symposium where I'm so glad you were here to talk about dry eye and ocular aesthetics. And really, you even talked about contact lenses because you do just about everything in your practice, right?
Yes, definitely. And so just a little bit of background. I hail from Georgia. I'm originally from Michigan. So I've lived in Georgia now for 19 years, right after I graduated. So I went to school in Pennsylvania. Came back, got married the next Tuesday, moved to Georgia with my husband.
My goodness.
It was like everything was back to back. So 19 years practicing, 19 years graduated from school, 19 years married. So everything happened in the same week. In my practice, I started my practice cold in 2010. And so my main practice is full scope. So yes, we do everything there, glasses, contact lenses, surgical, co-management, LASIK, all the good stuff, all the things. And then around 2016, is where I really kind of took a deep dive into dry eye disease and adding the aesthetics component.
Wow.
And so I just love practice management. I love ocular aesthetics as well as anything anterior segment. So I'm excited to be here.
Is it just you or do you have another doctor as well?
It was just me until last year. So I brought on an associate last year. And so this year, December 7th was our entire year. And so we kind of made it official. So we have a whole contract and everything. And so she's there. It helps because I opened a second dedicated dry eye facility.
Oh, it's a different location.
Yeah, it's a different location. I built it out within the practice and then
wow.
It started to take over. And so it's hard. I was joking in one of the lectures that at one point I felt a little like spastic because I'm doing like dry therapy and diagnostic, contact lenses, glaucoma, all in the same hour. And so my brain was
my
hurting.
Goodness.
And so I took it out and this is a dedicated space as of April. And so she's there when I'm not there. And so it works out great.
So is it in the same building or
no?
Not even?
It's 2 miles up the road. And so it's in a medical facility.
Okay.
And so it's a suite within a medical facility. So it's a dedicated space, no optical. Across the hall is plastic surgery, gynecology, rheumatology, orthopedics. And that's just on my floor.
Wow.
And so I'm on the third floor. So it's cool. I'm enjoying it so far.
And would you, you've had it for how long again?
6 months.
6 months.
So standalone is 6 months. So we did the build out and everything. Yeah. So,
so far so good.
So far so good that I had to add an extra day.
Oh my goodness.
And so I'm probably going to profit well before a year.
Wow.
I was only going to do just 2 days there. So I had to add an extra day. So one day I actually split my time. But it's going well to the point where I have to probably make some hard decisions in the next year or so about how much time I'm going to dedicate over there.
Right. Well, you said, so I'm going to go back to you moving to Georgia. Why did you move to Georgia?
Joking earlier today, it's always a man involved.
Uh-huh. I had a feeling.
And so, yeah, my husband is a military kid. His dad was in the Navy, so he's lived everywhere, including Guam. But he calls Georgia his home because he went to high school there and he actually went to Georgia Tech. And he's a mechanical engineer. And once he graduated, he got a job in Detroit, one of the big three.
Okay.
And Detroit is where I'm originally from.
Right.
So
that
in between, in between college and optometry school, you know, you go home and my cousin drug me out to go out. And that's when I met my husband.
Oh.
Yeah, but he's a tropical person. He didn't do well in the cold. He lasted about a year.
And he said, this is too cold for
me. It's too much. And he went back home. And so it was kind of like, well, if we're dating and you go back to Georgia, what does that mean?
Exactly.
So I jokingly say, this is my 19th year coming up in 2025. Once I hit 20 years there, then I'm officially a Southern Belle, a Georgia peach, even though I was born and raised in Michigan.
I love it. So you guys have children?
Yes, we do.
Tell me about that.
Yes, I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old boy. And so earlier lecture today. My practice will be 15 next June. My son turned 16 in March.
Which means?
He was going to the sites with me with his little hat on when he was in the stroller.
Oh my goodness.
And then my daughter's 12 and she'll turn 13 in March. So they're exactly 3 years and 4 days apart. Oh. So what does that mean?
Janelle.
How am I still sane? I don't know, but I am.
Wow. So your husband is an engineer.
Yes.
And what is he doing now?
And so up until 2020, he was engineering who moved into project management with IT background. 2020, things got crazy. All the kids were virtual school. It was just insane.
Yeah.
So now, as of 2020, he's been in the practice full time. So he's going on 5 years working in the practice as kind of chief operational officer, CFO, which has really helped more of the management, take a lot of that burden off of me so I can really focus on the clinical and just expanding my career.
Yep.
So he's been tremendous and we've worked really well as partners.
So was that a big decision for you guys?
It was. It was more for him, you know. It was funny, one Christmas before he did it, my sister, who is in healthcare, she's a dentist, so and her husband, they practice together, but they used to practice separately. And he had his own practice, and she was working somewhere else, and they started one practice together. And their thing was, nobody's going to have your back like your spouse, right? So I had office managers, staffing issues, and it's a lot, you know? And so he was kind of, you know, corporate America is corporate America. It's rough, and, you know, he's more of a behind-the-scenes type of guy, and so them kind of pushing him a little bit, he decided to make that decision. And 2020 made it easy where everybody was virtual. We were at the kids were at home.
So he was already kind of helping
Exactly. He was already not in the office. So it was a perfect segue for him to kind of step away and try and see if, you know, just being in the practice full time. And so almost 5 years later. So,
well, what you're not telling everybody, so I'm going to get you to do that, is that somewhere along the way, he designed something very amazing and unique. What is that?
So it's a software, and so it's called Paradigm. And so Paradigm was born in 2019. In my practice, I've always wanted to do bundling, making it very easy for the staff to calculate charges, make it a different buying experience. And I would go to these different lectures that were talked about the importance of bundling and making that buying process easy for the patient, having a floor as far as your pricing and what you offer.
Right.
And I have like laminated things. I try so hard. So finally I went to him one day and I said, you need to figure out how to do this. You're an engineer, you're IT.
It's what you do.
Let's figure this out. You know, there's gotta be a way. And so we started from like an Excel sheet. He went through like every insurance plan because he's that particular, figured out how to do the calculations. We had an Excel sheet. It was great, but it was completely overwhelming.
Wow.
And then it was a optician that we had and she goes, Dr. Davison, this is gold. You need to figure out how to commercialize this. You need to figure out how to actually make this something, you know, other than the Excel sheet. And so once again, I went to him. I'm like, you have an IT background. You have connections. You need to figure this out. And so that's how Paradigm was born. And we got a coder. We got our interface. And it worked so well in our practice.
Wow.
And we decided to offer it to other optometrists.
So did he do that before he started working in the practice with you?
Yeah. So we were already doing that like 2016, 2017.
Wow.
2019, we were starting that. And then that also, too, would allow more time for him to be able to better develop that, bring that to market. And so 2020 was like the perfect time for everything.
What's next?
Retirement. I'm just joking.
Retirement. Can you guys believe her? You look like you're at least half my age. And so for you to be saying retirement, I feel really guilty that I don't think it's in my future, not anytime soon.
We were talking earlier, like even when I was in school, I always kind of knew I wanted to be like that 55 retired. You know, my parents, they worked, you know, they're that generation that worked 30 plus years, never took days off, and they were in education. And I just didn't see that even, and I was in my 20s. And so that's kind of where I'm building towards now. I have springboards. And, you know, I just want to be able to, I enjoy my life now, but I want to be able to have more time to just really do things that I love, like service. I have a nonprofit. And so.
You do?
Yes, I have
what
a nonprofit.
Is that?
It's called SCORE, and I've had it since 2017. It's a nonprofit my sister and I started. We expose young women to the careers of optometry and dentistry. All women, but we definitely gear towards girls of color. Within both our disciplines, the representation is low. So we have internships and we have students that have come through our program. I have a student now that has actually an optometry school that I've known since she was a junior.
Wow.
They don't all go into optometry or dentistry, but at least they're exposed to it.
Yeah.
They get scholarship, and then they have an internship. So it really helps with their resumes. So when they go to apply for colleges, they have talking points. And so right. we've been doing that now since 2017.
So not only do you help them to become interested in, they get to see what the career is like, but you also provide scholarships.
Scholarship, yeah, which is important for like book money and scholarship. Wow. We gear towards like sophomores in high school, and we have high school interns.
Oh my goodness.
So you need money to apply for the Common App. You know, things in senior year are expensive. We do surveys to see what the girls do with the money. A lot of them save it and use towards book money for college. They use it for their expenses in their junior and senior year. So it's really good. That's really what keeps me going. I'm not very athletic, so all growing up, I've always did like community service. Yeah. I knew my lane very quickly. And so every now and then when I'm kind of down, I feel overwhelmed, I just get a random text from one of these girls who has yep. been a part of my life to say, hey, Dr. Davidson, you probably didn't think that this meant something to me, but I really appreciate it because now that I'm sitting in this class, something that I learned during your internship program is giving wow. me the courage to keep going. So
I'm sure there's more. I mean, this is incredible. The stuff that you're doing, the things, the people's lives that you're changing, Janelle, just keep it up. But hey, I'm going to put you on the spot again. Think about a challenge that you've had in the last, I think you said 19 years. So 19 years and how you have dealt with it and how it's changed your life.
So a challenge initially, I'm very type A. Very data driven. I'm a self-declared nerd. Just realizing I cannot be everything for everybody.
Good.
And that is
That's
okay.
Good.
And that is okay. And so I think once I came to that resolution, I was just joking with some of the attendees. I don't know if it's because I'm in my late 40s. That I just realized, you know, I can't be everything for everybody. Yeah. And that's fine. I don't want to be a jack of all trade and a master of none. So I've quickly yeah. started to hone in on things that bring me joy. Because I vividly remember when I was joyful in my 20s. And sometimes that can dim if you're not very intentional about bringing joy back to your life. So I've learned over time that you can't be everything for everybody because it could be very draining. And it's okay not to be. And find where your lane is and just go full force in that lane that belongs to you. And just it's okay to focus on yourself. So that's a big thing that I've learned over the last 5 to 10 years.
Do you find yourself forgetting that that's an intention of yours, you know, kind of getting
sometimes
out of
that? Definitely you can when you're a mother, a wife, a businesswoman, very in tune to the community, you can. But I'm doing better about stepping back and say, hey, I forgot about myself, you know, whether I'm getting a facial every month, I'm getting my nails done, things that I used to enjoy doing that can become chores when you get so busy and overwhelmed. Right. You're like, I don't feel like sitting there. I don't feel like doing that.
I know.
So joy was my word for 2024 and peace is my word for 2025. So whatever I'm doing, if it's not extending or bringing peace, then I'm not doing it.
I love that. So my sister, Janelle, her middle name is Peace. And my middle name is Love.
Oh, wow.
And my middle sister, Kelly, her middle name is Joy.
Oh,
I know. So I guess you probably don't need love. I mean, that doesn't need to be one of your words because you seem like a very caring, loving person to begin with.
Everybody needs love.
I know. Right? That came out so wrong.
No. But so when you are a caring, loving, authentic person, people do think that you don't need love. And so sometimes, you know, I need hugs. And I think God realized that in my baby girl. She is that, oh my God. It's just like right now she's 12 and it's like, get off of me. I need space. But so she's that person to make sure I get love and that if I'm even given an inkling that I don't feel good, she's like, get in the bed. She's breaking me hot tea. She's that person.
I'm goodness, like, I love
who
her.
Is this person? You know, So yes, I mean, joy and peace, but I think everybody's definition of what keeps them centered and grounded is different. And you have to be intentional about it because you can get so involved that those things just go by the wayside.
That's right.
So I sit down, I put in the planner and I write that word in there and I'm like, and it helps me, you know, people invite you to do this and do that. And it's like, well, if it's not bringing joy, thank you for the invitation. But I'm not going to be able to participate.
So I'm going to tell you something else. I had a bracelet made last year because my word for last year was peace.
What? So you're giving me chills.
I know.
We're like sisters or something.
I'm telling you what. I feel like I need to get my bracelet and give it to you. But really the reason I did it that way, and all my bracelets mean something and they all have a purpose. They remind me of what I'm trying to keep in my head and my heart all the time. And even my earrings, yesterday I was in a class and I told them I forgot to wear them. The name of them and what made me buy them is they were called, because the jeweler that I get them from names all their stuff, Outside the Box. And I said, oh, I got to have those, because I'm always telling myself and telling other people to think outside the box. So as I think about your word of the year, I mean, why don't we end with that? Tell everybody why you do that. I know I've read a couple of books about it. I believe in it. I do it every year as well. But tell people why you have a word of the year.
It keeps you grounded. I'm a woman of faith. And so it's what you believe and what you tell yourself is what manifests.
That's right.
So you have to believe it. You have to speak it and then just walk the walk.
Yep.
So that's why I do it.
That's good. If you haven't read the book, I can't remember the name of the one book that where they talk about it. And the book that I have, they talk about, it might be one word. Maybe that's the title of it. But in this book, they talk about how teams actually will do this. They'll have a whole office where everybody picks their word for themselves. And then the office together picks a word for the office. And they'll have it on in the office. They'll have it posted. But like you said, you have to remind yourself of it every day so that you're intentional. And then once you get 3 weeks, 3 months, keep going and doing this, it becomes
habit.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the bracelet idea. So
yeah,
if my husband is listening, kids, Pandora, bracelet. Go find me a bracelet.
There you go. That's what she needs for Christmas or the next holiday, whatever it is. Janelle, you have made me tear up, as I do when I feel like I'm learning so much from people. Thank you for being here. Oh. And thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much. And don't make me cry. We don't want to have a cry fest here.
We appreciate you so much. And thanks for being at the conference. And what's next? Let's end it with that.
So what's next is me for the rest of this year.
Not retirement. Year. You can't say retirement.
No, what's next? I'm really focusing on building out Visionary Dry Institute. I'm so excited. It brings me joy. I have out of the box thinking that I'm doing to make that center, that institute, a place of healing for patients who are suffering from ocular surface disease, specifically dry eye disease.
And you guys go look at her website. I did before we talked, and she actually uses those words. And I love that. A place of healing, a sanctuary. I think you used the word sanctuary. And I think those are all really good things, because words matter.